The recent college admission scandal in the United States exposes a deadly spirit of lawlessness. America was founded on biblical principles, including the rule of law. Learn about the alarming consequences of departing from the law. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The U.S. Department of Justice has just charged 50 people with a very serious crime, one that is, disturbing to say the least. Rich people and parents were bribing the college and testing officials to get their children into college and try to just buy their way into these elite colleges, colleges like Yale and Stanford and USC and UCLA and Georgetown. And it is disturbing to a point that I think most people can't even imagine. When you know and understand what our government is all about, you could say, I think you could say that it's something that could even destroy the American Republic. It is a direct attack on the U.S. Constitution, the supreme law of the land, and let me tell you, it is dark and it is dangerous. And all you have to do is to look at history books to see that, and if you want to see it even more powerfully, you can go to your Bible and see the real foundation of why that is so dangerous. Ben Shapiro wrote an article in the Daily Wire, and he talked about these parents, and one couple allegedly spent $500,000 or $500,000 to get two of their daughters into an elite college. And it seems to be something that has been going on for a long time. And I want to read to you a quote here that is really critical to understand something, and it certainly helped me to understand this better, and I believe it will to anybody if they just think about it. But here's what Mr. Shapiro wrote. Here's the problem. Neither of these priorities actually demands that universities teach anything. Well, how do you explain that? I mean, that's something that's hard to understand. Credentialism occurs upon admission as so long as you aren't thrown out of school. Social capital begins to accrue with presence, not with performance. It's just with your being there. That's social capital begins to accrue just for your being there, just staying there, not by performing while you're there. And he goes on to write, hence, colleges watering down curricula and grades in order to make it easier to credential and to generate less friction. That's what students and parents demand, not skills, not education, but credentialism and social capital, or to advance themselves socially. And here is the really shocking part of it. After I was admitted to Harvard Law School, I attended orientation. Our 500-strong class was gathered in Memorial Hall in historic Sanders Theater, where then Dean Alina Kagan, now Supreme Court Justice, spoke to us. She informed us that competition was over. We were in. No need to worry about the stuff we've seen in the paper chase. We were all going to leave with degrees and jobs. Not just that. As graduates of Harvard Law, we were destined to rule the universe. She informed us of how many alumni were in the Senate, how many in Congress, how many on the Supreme Court. The battle was over upon our acceptance to the institution. That is an incredible and stunning statement that he has just made here. He concludes by saying, all of this has significant social ramifications. Of course, it means that our meritocracy doesn't begin in college. It ends for many upon admission to college. In other words, the real education never even begins. but you, well, you create a certain merit from all of this just because of the prestige of these universities. But he said that the these young people expect to be pampered, and their parents expect them to be pampered, and they don't want honest grades. He mentioned one professor, and I'll just read this to you. Professor Harvey Mansfield of Harvard University was essentially forced by the administration not to give honest grades. He started giving two grades, one for merit and then one for the administration. I mean, a real education versus one for the administration, which was not accurate. He goes on to say, so as not to penalize people for taking his classes politically, this also means the students expect not to be challenged. They expect to be comfortable. Well, as the Bible would say, they wanted to hear smooth things, and they don't want to be uncomfortable at college. They don't want to be pressured at college. They want it to be smooth sailing. And even though they don't get a real education, this is abominable when you think about it. Now, these parents were giving just gobs of money to get their children into the into these schools, and they were actually buying their way, the students' way, their own children's way past merit and education. Now, you could almost say that Harvard Law School, they have many students that don't even learn law, and we'll say constitutional law in particular. That is the supreme law of the land. Now, we can argue with that if we want to, but that's what the Constitution says. And so it is a direction, and you have to see this if you're thinking about it, and in terms of history, you have to understand it, but it's in going in a, to a direction of chaos and anarchy, and certainly is going to put America in a very weak, chaotic condition and make it so much more vulnerable from attack from without. There are nations out there waiting for such an opportunity. That is the world in which we live. But you person could ask, now really think about this, what is this? Is this some kind of a plot? If not, certainly, if people may not understand it, but there is a great evil spiritual being that does understand it and is plotting to do some catastrophic things to this nation. That brings the Bible into it, but then Harvard's not very much concerned about the Bible or even history or even education. In this context, that is alarming. Surely we would all agree to that, but again, these students are simply not challenged. How can you get an education if you're not challenged? I'm the chancellor of a college, and I'm telling you, it's not that way here, and it shouldn't be that way any place, but that's the most shocking article I've read in quite a long time, and believe me, this is not a political statement I'm making. There are people on both sides of the aisle, or Republicans and Democrats, who don't really understand how dangerous this philosophy is. They don't understand it. And I'm telling you, it is dark and it is dangerous. And it's alarming that more people don't understand that. Here's what Robert Bork wrote. He also was a candidate for the Supreme Court at one time, and quite a number of people believe he was the best constitutional lawyer perhaps that we've ever had. I wrote about this in No Freedom Without Law. And he said, a well-known Harvard law professor turned to me with some exasperation and said, quote, "Your notion that the Constitution is in some sense law must rest upon an obscure philosophic principle with which I am unfamiliar." How can a well-known Harvard professor say that? Here's what the Constitution says. This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made, it goes on to say, and shall be the supreme law of the land. Tells you that right there in the Constitution. This shall be the supreme law of the land. And then it also says, the United States and several states shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. And yet you had a Harvard law professor that doesn't even believe it's law. Well, its Constitution certainly says it is. I don't know how anything could be more clarified than that. Cal Thomas in the Washington Times, March 8, 2000, said that this evolving Constitution that they're talking about so much is one of the most dangerous philosophies in our time. Now, I certainly agree with that. Certainly we have to make rare changes in the Constitution. But here is, people are talking about an evolving Constitution, which really shows that they're just relying more and more on human nature and not the Constitution, which is based on many biblical principles and biblical doctrines. Permanent truth. And yet they want it to keep in evolving. And they certainly are evolving away from the Bible these days and history, the lessons of history. But here we have people saying today, well, the deep state, as they call it, or just a few unelected officials, literally have tried to overthrow the government, the present government. They came out of the last administration. And they wanted to overthrow the votes of 63 million Americans, and they are unelected officials, just a few of them, that think they know better than all those millions of people. Were they educated at elite colleges? Yes, they were. Again, this is something that surely concerns both parties of the U.S. Congress. Surely it does. And this is not about supporting a political party at all. Here's another quote from my booklet, No Freedom Without Law. And it says this, a living constitution, notes constitutional attorney John Whitehead, means the Constitution is up for grabs. In other words, it's this evolving constitution that so many of them talk about. You'd better define that very carefully, because in the minds of many people, it means destroying the Constitution. And that is, in fact, what it usually means. But where do you think this is going to lead? I mean, this is your country. Where is this all leading? Well, he goes on to say, and it becomes whatever the justices decide, not the people through their elected representatives. The founders never intended the courts to be supreme. Their intention was that the law, rooted in objective and unchallenged truth, would be preeminent. Again, you see this being done in secular history, our history today. And let me read you a scripture now where the same thing has happened to Christianity. In most Christian entities, notice what it says in Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18. These are Christ's own words. Notice what he says. And notice how it conflicts with what you see in this Christian world. These are his words, not mine. And here's what Christ said, verses 17 and 18, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Fill it to the full. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Well, how about that? Every T is going to be crossed. Every I is going to be dotted. Not even that will be missing. Christ says it has to be fulfilled to that extent by all of us. And yet most Christian religions say that the law has been done away. It is not binding on them. Well, Benjamin Franklin told us that, okay, we have a republic, if you can keep it. That's what he said and prophesied to the American people, or forecast to them what would happen. What could very well happen if they can keep the Constitution, it'd all be fine. Certainly, supremely important. But he says, if you can keep it. And we're proving to Ben Franklin and all the founding fathers and many people that we're not going to keep it unless we reverse our course and reverse our spiritual lives as well. The famous British historian Paul Johnson said that if you're going to sustain law, the true rule of law, you're going to have to have millions of people that are willing to die, shed their blood to sustain and keep that constitutional republic. Masses of individuals are prepared to die to uphold it. That's what he says. The Greeks tried to establish it. The Romans tried to establish the law, and they both failed. And he says, it is the same law for everyone, everywhere, kings, emperors, high priests, the state itself, and of course, all the rich people that are trying to buy their way into elite colleges. And of course, those are my words. But he says, if exceptions are made, the rule of law begins to collapse. And that was the grand lesson of antiquity. That is the grand lesson of our history, of the ancients. And we're not listening to history. Do you think masses of people are willing to sacrifice the blood the way many of our founders did? To have the Constitution rule over us, that constitutional law that is built upon many biblical principles and doctrines. And now, these were, in the beginning, these were God-fearing men that came into this country and they'd been persecuted in their religions. They didn't have freedom. And they came to this country and they wanted to establish the rule of God in America. And look where we are today. They believed in the Bible more than many Christians do today, I'll tell you for sure. Those are just facts. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But they wanted to establish the rule of God on this earth. And that Constitution flowed from many people who had that mindset. Now, not all of them did, and that's never happens that way. In 1954, Supreme Court Chief Justice Earl Warren wrote, quote, I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge our forefathers had of the Bible and their belief in it. See, you could say that the Constitution is the foundation of our republic. And I'll tell you, the way we're headed is going to be a crisis like our people can't even imagine. And it isn't going to turn out where anybody here is going to take over, if you want to look at Bible prophecy, unless we wake up. The prophet Ezekiel says, why will you die, O Israel? And that's talking about nations, and two in particular. And if you don't understand that, you need to write for our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. Notice what God says in Isaiah 3. He says, For behold, the Eternal, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah, Jerusalem being a type of Israel, two nations of Israel in particular, in this end time. And here's the warning, and he's talking directly to America and Britain and to the Jewish nation in the Middle East. Verse 2 says, the mighty man, he's going to take the mighty man away, the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. This is all end time prophecy. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Wow. Now that's imminent destruction if we don't learn a lesson. Now, and you can read in Isaiah 30 in verses 8 through 10. I'll just paraphrase it. But it says, this is, go write this in a book, Isaiah. This is for the end time. Write it in a book for the time to come, which means the end time we're living in right now. And he says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Eternal, will not hear the law. And you'd better look at the outcome, the result of all this, if we don't. Verse 10 says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not, and to us right things speak, and to us smooth things prophesy deceits. Why, just like the rich people getting their children into these elite colleges, they just want the stature and really a lot of clout that comes with just getting into those elite colleges but not being educated. Now that is sheer ignorance. I don't care which elite college they get into. That is just simply something that makes no sense whatsoever. You can read where the 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4, there's a man of sin, the son of perdition or the son of destruction. That man of sin actually means a man of lawlessness. That's what we're into today. It's not about an evolving constitution. It's about lawlessness. You'd better, if you believe God, it certainly is. That's what he's talking about through Isaiah. That's what he's talking about. If you look, the great empires of Lucifer, angelic empire, well, here's what it says. I'll just quickly read it. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity or lawlessness was found in you. Well, it must mean that this great Lucifer, this fallen Lucifer, archangel, who became Satan the devil, he is the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. It must mean that he's really got a hold on our people. Herbert Armstrong wrote in 1972, government is the most important issue to God and in his mind, and it should be to ours. But you see, again, the government of God is what we really want. And the Constitution of the U.S. has more biblical basis than any constitution or any governmental document on this earth. It is based on many permanent truths. Now, of course, people are going to disagree with that, but God says you'd better listen to what he says. You'd better listen to the outcome of all this. Lamentations 2 and verse 9 says, the law is no more. And what happens? Well, her prophets also find no vision from the Eternal. No new revelation. He will not give it to them because the law is no more in his own church. 95% of the people he's talking to here. It's not easy, see, as to achieve all this, and everybody today wants the easy way. They want everything to just be easy and smooth. And don't speak to us all of the truth. Speak to us smooth things and deceits. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
The recent college admission scandal in the United States exposes a deadly spirit of lawlessness. America was founded on biblical principles, including the rule of law. Learn about the alarming consequences of departing from the law. More than perhaps any luxury or convenience, most humans around the world desire true freedom. Freedom has been the driving force behind numerous wars and political movements throughout history. But freedom is never actually obtained in these ways. Only God holds the solution. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, No Freedom Without Law, for God's perspective on this vital subject. Around the world, the trend today is towards lawlessness. Misguided people believe that not having to obey the law is true freedom. Just look at the results of rebellion in society. Violent crime, substance abuse, theft, disease, and many other dreadful plagues. Is this freedom? Study No Freedom Without Law to understand the perfection and righteousness of God's law. Discover how applying God's simple yet beautiful law would provide mankind with the happiness and freedom we've always craved. Worldly governments are corrupt by nature. Man's forms of government have repeatedly abused the very subjects that they're supposed to serve. The painful lessons of history have made many people hostile toward even the concept of government, including the perfect government of God. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, God's Family Government, to learn how Satan has deceived the entire world in this area. In this end time, even God's own church fell apart because of rebellion against government. Government is the most important subject in the Bible. God is very specific about government structure and operation. Only those who understand and obey God's government today will escape the nightmarish time of suffering just ahead. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and God's Family Government. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and God's Family Government. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.